Thank you, Mr. Gardenhire. Appreciate your introduction. You've only been introducing me now for about 25 years. Comes up with something new every time. Here's Paul Smith. Just like each of us do. It's a real challenge, honestly, when you've been in the same congregation as all of the elders here, with the exception of Roland, actually. They're relatively new to our congregation, and Jim, but Bob and Skip and I, you know, we've been speaking to one another and to the same group of people for 25, 30, I guess Bob probably closer to 40 years. And so it's a challenge that we come up with every week to try and bring you something that isn't too recent, if not new altogether. And so the challenge is always before us, and so we appreciate your prayers and certainly want to thank you all for coming out and being with us and helping us to enjoy the God's Sabbath together and holy convocation and to hear the God's Word expounded. So if you would, turn with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter. I want to start here today because it's a scripture that I think is difficult for, well, it is for me, let's just put it that way, and maybe some of you as well. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And it starts out with this big challenge, I think. Be anxious for nothing. Does that fit real well for all of you? Yeah, that piece of cake? Probably not, I'm guessing. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Life Application Study Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, is that a scripture that is easier said than done? It is in my book. Much easier said than done. Stress, anxiety, even depression, it seems, are everywhere we turn. If not at work or within the family or even at church or any of the many other things that we are all engaged in each day and the things that we face, that's a hard thing to do, to not worry or not be anxious for anything. So today I want to talk with you about how the Scriptures encourage us to deal with two kinds of mental conditions. And I'm not putting you all in the mental house or anything of that sort, so bear with me as I explain. The first is everyday situations which can cause us to have stress and anxiety and even depression. And the second is deeply rooted conditions of the mind caused by physical or emotional or mental trauma at some point in one's life that just hang on and wounds that don't heal emotionally and within the psyche. I'm not a psychiatrist nor a psychologist nor a doctor, and so anything that I say today and along any lines like that, please don't think that I'm an authority. I'm only an authority on the things that I've experienced, and some of this I've experienced. The first point regarding conditions. These are temporary things as opposed to, as I'll talk about in a little bit, those things that are more permanent and so forth. Notice what Jesus had to say to the disciples in Luke chapter 12 along these lines. Luke chapter 12. Talking about situations that can cause us stress and anxiety and even depression. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You know, somebody has said 90% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. And I think that's probably not too far off. We worry about things that we just shouldn't worry about. Now, I know that it's difficult as we go through life and at various stages of our life and make transitions especially as I'm getting towards that period of time, I'm going to transition someday out of working full time. And we always, have some concerns about that, and we plan and so forth and try to make sure that we have enough money for the years that we'll have left over, and nobody knows for sure whether you'll have way too much because you'll die early or you live way too long and not have enough. When we can be concerned and worry a little bit about that. But those are the kind of things that we need to put into God's hands and let Him take care of it. He says, who of you being worrying about things can add a cubit to his stature? Who can even make yourself grow an inch? Nobody thinks that they can do that. Consider the lilies. Verse 26. If you then are not able to do the least, which is make yourself taller, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not like, or not arrayed like one of these. If God then clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? O you of little faith. That's a challenge, isn't it? To have enough faith to not worry, to not be anxious, to not take over consideration for the things that we have need of. Verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Well, I'm a little concerned sometimes about what I'm going to eat and drink. At least I think I am. I plan ahead. Hope Jackie's got something good in mind. Like last night when she braised some short ribs in Korean style, and we made a nice risotto and had a nice bottle of wine. It's nice to not have to worry about that and think about it, but thinking about it ahead is a nice thing. But I wasn't worried about it. I wasn't worried. So God was going to provide, and she's got the talent and the experience to cook all of this stuff up, and I'm the schlep that gets to just stir it and help clean up afterwards and enjoy it. So it works out good for me. Verse 30 says, for all these things the nations or the Gentiles of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. He knows what we have need of. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And by inference, as we read here, it is His pleasure to give us the things that we need of life. What we'll wear, what we'll eat, where we'll sleep, where we'll live. Sometimes there's a very fine line between caring and being anxious or worrying about something. And there's nothing wrong with caring. I care what I'm going to eat. I care what I'm going to wear. But we're not to get overly anxious and worry about it. What if you just sometimes have too much on your plate? My plate seems to be getting smaller, or there's more on it. I'm talking about in the sense of the things that I need to do, especially at work. And it can be overwhelming. There's just a point where everybody can do everything that you need to do and to do it well. Each of us has a level where we can do that. And then there's a point just beyond that where we can still get everything done, but not do everything as well as we would if there weren't so many things to do. And then there gets to be a point where I can't get everything done, and things are kind of sloppy, and it's kind of tough to make everything work. And then there's a point where you just can't get anything done, because it's just too much. And you go into a triage mode, and I've been this way at work the last few weeks. I told people, I'm in triage mode. If your carotid artery is not squirting blood, I am not dealing with you today. Your issue is a walking wounded, and we'll get to you when time comes, when there are less urgent patients. And that's not a good thing. But it's just what you have to do, and to strategize, to prioritize, and to do the things that have to be done today. But it can get to be too much. And maybe you're also, I've mentioned this one time in the past about how different people think differently and how we process information. And one of the comparisons is that some people are like waffles and some like spaghetti. My mind works like a waffle. I've got little squares, you know, where this fits in here, and this is home, and this is church, and there may be smaller squares in there for different little parts, but at work it's like that too. I have a little square in my mind that, you know, that's this job, and it's that job, and that project, and I have a boss who is like spaghetti. And with him and people who think like that, and actually I think it's probably very good that they can do this, but they can, everything touches, you know? The sauce is on everything. And if this little thing over here connects somehow over here instantly, not me, I got to get out of this square, know the next square I'm going to, sit down in that square and get settled and get my mind into it. And when I'm not allowed the time to make those shifts, good night, it's stressful. Whew! The back of my head will get numb. My ears will start to tingle. And I just look at him and he says, spaghetti and waffles, isn't it? Yes. You got to give me time to process and make the shift. Or it puts a lot of stress on. So it's kind of like, imagine a pinball machine. I don't know how many of you even know about pinball machines anymore. It's probably such an antiquated toy that we used to play, but with flippers and knocking balls around all over the thing and lights jingling and flashing. And that's kind of the way it is when some spaghetti comes in and throws all over my waffle. It's like balls are bouncing everywhere and I don't know which way to go. But there are ways that we can help solidify that and kind of get it down to where it's tolerable. And those are physical things. So these are physical things, but you can try and change the situation. Good luck with that if you're working and you don't have another job to go to. But you can try and lighten the load. That sounds really good if you've got somebody to help you lighten it. Or you can just work longer hours, you know. And one of the guys that worked with us a couple of weeks ago, kind of dry sense of humor, and he just hired on about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months now. And he's working on a job that we have in Solana Beach, and it's on Highway 101, a very high profile, a lot of stress for him. And he came into the office one afternoon, and he said, you know, I'm thinking of quitting. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when I hired on, Glenn said that this was going to be a full-time job, and I find that I'm sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night. And here it comes. He's not working full time, not 24 hours a day. He's got 4 or 5 hours that all he's doing is sleeping. So, at any rate, the load can get tough. And there are a couple of physical things that I've done and learned through the years to kind of relieve some of that stress, because it does get in your shoulders and your neck. And just, you know, rotating, flopping your arms around, going and taking a walk. If you've been through Lamaze training, how many through Lamaze training? Yeah, see? Remember stage 2 Lamaze breathing? It's deep inhale through your nose. Blow. And it really does help. It really does help. So just a couple little things that I share with you that I sometimes use. Taking a walk right now has kind of been the biggest thing for me. Getting out of the office and just saying, I'll be back in about 20 minutes and how long it takes me to get around the block. Let's notice back in 1 Samuel. Here's some proof, 1 Samuel 16, that the physical can have a big impact on mental conditions and mental situations. In 1 Samuel 16, getting verse 1 Samuel 16, 14 through 23. This is the situation with Saul. Saul had been king, and God had given him the Spirit. And it says now in verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, not all of our stressful situations and stressful spirits, I assume, are coming from the Lord, but maybe they are, but I think it's more likely in this particular case, in this point that I'm making, that it comes from the situations in which we find ourselves and just the stress of daily life. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So they realized that there were some physical things that they could do to help relieve the mental stress and anguish that Saul was experiencing. And Saul said to the servants, "Provide me now with a man who can play well and bring him to me." And then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have a son, or I've seen a son of Jesse in Bethlehemite, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and handsome man, and the Lord is with him." And therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with your sheep." And so Jesse took a donkey and loaded it with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent it with his son David to Saul. And he was trying to send gifts along, so maybe he didn't have a full idea of why the king was commanding his son to come. I suspect he had some insight into it, but you go before a king, especially a king with a bad spirit, probably good to take him a few gifts and wine him and dine him a little bit as you come in. So Jesse was smart in that sense. And so David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stay before me, for he's found favor in my sight." And verse 23, so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Now, I suspect speculation, but I suspect, entering how speculation and I suspect sound alike, don't they? I suspect that God sent this spirit to be with Saul so that David would be brought into this situation. And so that as he prepared David to become king, he brought him into the close proximity to Saul and to see how government functioned and so forth, because he probably wasn't learning a lot about government out taking care of sheep. But he played uplifting, relaxing music. And that's another physical thing that we can do to help relieve some of the stress and strain. Asking for help is another. Asking for help. Sometimes you can actually get it. Not always, but you can from time to time get some help. And last but perhaps not least, we may even at some point need to seek some medical or professional help. But most importantly, more than anything else, all these are little tricks and little things that you can try, and maybe you have some that work for you that I didn't mention, and I'd sure like to hear about them because I could use some new ones. Mine are working, but not as well as they used to, and I could use some more. So if you want to share with me, that'd be great. But most importantly, pray about the situation. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." It's Proverbs 12:25. The Life Application Study Bible says, "Worry weighs a person down." Amen. It weighs a person down. And an encouraging word cheers a person up. And we can let situations drive us to the point of depression. I hope you don't. Don't let it get that far. Tap into all the resources that we have, especially prayer. And where can we find an encouraging word? Well, hopefully you have a coworker or a family member or somebody that that helps you out and encourages you. But also keep in mind that other people go through similar situations, and be an encourager yourself. How much more do we get out of it when we actually help somebody else? It seems like it comes back to us even more than if we're just looking to get help for ourselves. An encouraging friend may not always be near when we need it, but Jesus and the Father are always just a prayer away. They're just a prayer away, and we need to have faith and trust in them to deliver us. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 22, David has been delivered now from all his enemies and from Saul. Saul has died, and he's been made king. And this is a song that David composed. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. "And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, 'The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my strength. In him I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. Terms that probably don't mean as much to us as they would for people in his time and the previous eras. But when he gets to the next part, we start getting close. My Savior. We should be able to relate to that. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And notice in these next few verses, thinking about stress and strain and anxiety and depression, when the waves of death encompass me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry entered His ears. Let's skip forward to verse 17. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of those waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those that hated me and those that were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. And so He also brought me into a broad place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. We must have trust and faith in God to deliver us. In all ways, even what we may think of as the more mundane things to God. Is God really concerned about my day and how tough it is on me and on you? Yes, He is. He is indeed. The second condition that I wanted to talk to you about are deeply rooted conditions rather than just temporary situations that we've been talking about. Conditions of the mind caused by mental or emotional trauma. I'm talking about the results of traumatic physical or mental or emotional abuse, conditions that can cripple us in our relationship with others and our relationship with God, because those kind of wounds and scars go deep inside one's psyche and can certainly be a condition that people struggle with for a long, long time. How can we deal with these kind of conditions? I'm not saying, once again, that we should not seek medical or professional help, because oftentimes that's a way to go. But I put a question to you and ask if you've ever considered, can or should we be anointed for conditions of the mind as well as the physical body? Can we or should we be anointed for conditions of the mind as well as the body? Let's go to James 5, where the instruction we find to the church how to proceed when they're sick. Verses 14 and 15 of James 5. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Interesting, isn't it, that in this context sin is mentioned? Some illness, though not all, can be the result of sin. But I think that there's more to this than we just sometimes get from the surface. Notice, join me in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Just bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Did you notice and realize that iniquities and diseases are two different things? They're two different things. It's not just another way of saying the same thing. One is forgiven, the other is healed. Diseases literally means sicknesses and illnesses, but iniquities here means more than we might think. It has, as Jacinius in his Hebrew Chaldean lexicon of the Old Testament says, it has a connotation of perversities and depravities. Perversities and depravities, these are things that occur in the mind. Often the guilt contracted by or associated with sin, he says. So iniquities are something more than it says. Healed, blessed, he forgives all of forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. Jesus wasn't scourged and crucified because of our illnesses. Now we're healed by his stripes, and that's a part of the blessing and the benefit of being a Christian. But he didn't die because we get sick. He died because we sin. And these, my friends, are conditions of the mind. So I submit to you that the mind God is interested in and offers us consolation and help in that respect too. Notice Romans 12 verse 2. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of our minds is what God is most interested in. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Ephesians 4. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts." And he's not talking about the hardening of the physical hearts. This is, once again, something that takes place in the mind. "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness." The mind must be healed to be a part of the conversion and growth process. While we're often perhaps more concerned about physical healing, God is far more interested in the renewing and the healing of our minds. That's what's going to last and go beyond. These bodies are going to go away, and there'll be a time when we won't have them. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted." Once again, not talking about the physical heart, but the mind. "And binds up their wounds," which also means their sorrows or worries. Being broken in heart is dealing with the feelings and even the intellect, the mind. So if you're experiencing crippling or paralyzing anxiety, where you just can't get anything done, and I hope that none of you have ever been there. I hope you never go there. But some have and some do, where you just can't get anything done. You might want to consider being anointed for your mind. Because even though situations pass, and there are things that we can do with situations, situations sometimes cause conditions. Conditions that need more than just a changing of the situation. After all, anxiety and depression are conditions of the mind. And as we've seen, anointing for the mind is a part of the blessing we have in our relationship with God. So we know that stress and anxiety and depression can come upon us from a variety of sources, from situations of high stress and family or work or church or any number of things that we engage in each day, as well as from conditions caused by emotionally scarring events of the past. But no matter the source, of the conditions of the mind, Jesus offers us comfort and relief through prayer and deliverance for situations and healing through anointing for conditions of the mind. May God help us to remember what we read in 2 Samuel 22. In my distress I called on the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, and he delivered me. And as we read in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Happy Sabbath.